Michelle and Junie live from Bridgestone Arena this morning. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle. We got Nick Frazier live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios this morning. An hour till tip-off, SEC Tournament semifinals. First game will be Alabama and Missouri. And then after that, Vanderbilt in Texas A&M. We will discuss a little college basketball coming up at 10:30. But right now, we're taking a look at the quarterback market. And what could free agency entail coming up on Monday? Lamar Jackson was tagged by the Ravens. The Ravens did give him the non-exclusive franchise tag, which allows Lamar to weigh his options, talk to some other teams. And you know what I thought was interesting, Junie, is when the report came out that Lamar Jackson got the non-exclusive tag, I thought it was a little strange that immediately after that, some teams said, nope, we're not interested. Not even having a conversation with him, not even, because if we think about it, we don't actually know the exact number that Lamar Jackson is asking for. We can assume that he wants something like Deshaun Watson's contract, which is fair. They're in the same division. He sees that he just got that after everything that has happened with Deshaun Watson. Lamar Jackson is looking at the Ravens and saying, okay, well, why aren't you giving me that deal? But we truly don't actually know what he's asking for. So for the Falcons to come out and say, yep, no, we're not interested, and a bunch of other teams say that they're not interested in Lamar without even having a conversation, I did think that that was a little strange.
I am not surprised by it at all.
But I get the
point about what you're saying with, you know, Lamar Jackson, you know, why is nobody talking about him, and that officially he hasn't come out and said that that's the contract that he wants. Well, he's not going to. But these things leak out to the media for a reason. You know, it's the agent, it's the team. Somebody is leaking this information because they want everybody to know what's going on. And I'm so sick of hearing everybody say, well, why does nobody want to talk to Lamar? Why does? Because, listen, nobody wants to give him a fully guaranteed contract. Listen, the Cleveland Browns gave Deshaun Watson probably one of the worst contracts in NFL history. It is going to strap them down for years to come. It is going to, unfortunately, they're going to lose a bunch of players. They're already talking about cutting the heart and soul of their team, Nick Chubb, because of this contract. So outside looking in, the top three quarterback contracts in the league are Russell Wilson with the Broncos, Kyler Murray with the Cardinals, and Deshaun Watson with the Browns. What do all of those teams have in common? They're not winning. They're not competitive. They're not that good. And you're overpaying and losing a bunch of other assets to your team because of it. The Ravens are a smart organization. They're not going to make the same stupid mistake that the Cleveland Browns did just because they're desperate to have somebody to go to the dance with. You know what I'm saying? So the Ravens played this perfectly. They let Lamar go out and see what his market is. And if, you know, he does end up getting an offer, they have the ability to match. And if they don't want to match, they get two first-round picks to go along with it. So the Ravens are doing their due diligence. And if Lamar Jackson ends up not getting anybody, they're going to be only paying $32 million on the non-exclusive franchise tag for him this upcoming season.
We had Charles Robinson on earlier this week with Robbie and Rex Road. He's the senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports, very connected around the league. We asked him about Lamar Jackson, why other teams weren't interested, what is going on between him and the Ravens. Here was Charles Robinson on Lamar Jackson.
The Ravens are just like, now go see. You can go see for yourself, and then they'll be like, okay, great. Yeah, we'll do that. Absolutely. We'll match that deal because he's not going to get anything close to what he wants.
Right.
But what do you think he will – like, what do you think that is?
Well, okay, so if we're working off of the five-year, $250 million deal that he supposedly turned down with $133 million in guaranteed money, it's still a league where most contracts that are in line with any thought whatsoever are three-year deals. So to me, probably 5 years, $250, $150 million guaranteed probably makes the most sense.
That doesn't suck.
To me.
So that was Charles Robinson earlier this week on the contract that Lamar Jackson could be looking for. Will the Ravens give it to him? Since the Ravens put the non-exclusive tag on Lamar Jackson, they have an opportunity to counter any offer that a team may give Lamar. Maybe no team will give Lamar an offer, but if they do, and if the Ravens don't want to counter and don't want to give Lamar that contract, then the other team will have to give the Ravens 2 first-round picks. So it's really going to be interesting how this whole Lamar Jackson situation, you know, just plays out, because I look at Lamar and he's obviously one of the younger stars in the AFC. He's battled with injury. He's battled with people, you know, talk about the offensive coordinator he had. He hasn't had any star receivers. So there still are question marks with Lamar Jackson. Yes, he won an MVP. Yes, he is a very talented quarterback. But when it comes to a contract like that, from an organization like the Ravens, who have won Super Bowls, who are a very successful organization, they look at that and they look at, okay, what is the longevity of this contract? How is this going to impact us not only this year, but how is this going to impact us in the future? Are we going to be able to build around Lamar? Are we going to be able to build an elite defense, right? Have a solid offensive line for Lamar?
Yeah.
So he is one of the biggest dominoes that whether he stays with the Ravens, whether a team tries to go and get him, but I don't see a team who is not in a full go-for-it mode or not already having a somewhat complete roster going and getting a guy like Lamar Jackson.
I just think what he's asking for, if it's even in the ball range for it, it's just overpaying for this guy. He's been in the league for 5 years now. He has a 1-3 playoff record. 1-3.
Hey, Justin Herbert has no playoff wins.
But he's also been in the league 2 more years than Justin Herbert has.
Okay, fair.
And Justin Herbert has shown that he can be an elite passer in this game. We haven't seen Lamar Jackson put up elite passing. I would say he's put up elite passing numbers, but he doesn't make consistent elite NFL throws that like you'd want to. His game style is primarily based on the run. So we're talking about a guy that's 1-3 in the playoffs. He hasn't even finished the last 2 seasons, costing the Ravens opportunities at the playoffs. And when I look at this, the Ravens are a smart organization. I've already stated this. But
yes.
Joe Flacco, in his first 5 years, went to 3 AFC championships, and he won a Super Bowl. And this is Joe Flacco on his rookie deal. Lamar Jackson, 1-3 in the playoffs and hasn't even sniffed an AFC championship. And so with all this being said, with the injury stuff, the lack of playoff success, the most points he's ever put up in the playoffs is 20 points, which is not very good. I just think that he's not worth that ultra big contract in investing that much into this guy when you've seen other teams that have done it. And their results have been negative. The Browns' win-loss record has gone down. The Cardinals were a playoff team last year. They pay Kyler. You know, they're picking third in the draft. You know, there's just so much that goes into this that people aren't looking at. They just look at Lamar as an ultra-talented, super-fast, flashy player, and they think since he won MVP four years ago, he should be able to reset the NFL market. And I completely disagree with that notion.
Well, the Browns really did the Ravens dirty with signing Deshaun Watson, the entire quarterback market. I mean, we've got young guys coming up too. I mean, if you're Joe Burrow, if you're Justin Herbert, some of these young stars looking at what is going on in the quarterback market right now and seeing some of the contracts, the contract that Daniel Jones just got, I mean, seeing some of these contracts, they know that their time is coming. But, I mean, Joe Burrow has been – and we talked about this, Junie, last week. He's been pretty vocal at, I want to keep the core of my team together. I want to keep T. Higgins. And if Joe Burrow does something similar to what Tom Brady did and, you know, took a lesser contract just as far as, you know, not taking the $200 million guaranteed or whatever it may be to get a great team around him, you better be nervous if you're in the AFC.
100%. Listen, when your best quarterback – he's Joe Burrow, hands down, is a top 3 quarterback in the league right now. If he's taking less money, doing like a Patrick Mahomes, a longer deal, a lot of money over time, very movable, can do a lot of restructuring, making some of that signing bonuses coming straight from the owner himself, opening up some cap space to keep your guys and keep that core around you. And you got Lamar Jackson. Listen, Joe Burrow's already he's been in the league for 3 years. He's been to two AFC championships, and he's already been in the Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson has been in the league almost twice as long as Joe Burrow and hasn't seen nearly as much success, and he's asking for the Brinks trucks to back up to him. We have to look at this with, you know, a sensible eye, right? We have to understand that Lamar Jackson does not deserve a contract that Joe Burrow deserves, but yet we are seeing the selflessness of Joe Burrow trying to keep his team together to stay competitive, whereas Lamar Jackson on his rookie deal couldn't even get his team to the AFC championship. Well, so it's a give and take here, and you think that you're going to be more competitive when the team is paying you a ton of money and salary that they could be using to build the team around you. You haven't succeeded when the team around you has been built and you're not making anything.
Well, I think also, to Lamar Jackson's point, is seeing Kyler Murray get the contract that he just did with Arizona. Arizona, another organization we talk about, they're not a winning organization.
No.
And them giving Kyler Murray that contract, he's suffered a lot of injuries. He hasn't had a playoff win. He's a younger guy in the league. Yeah, Lamar, of course, he's going to, you know, say, hey, well, look at him and look at Deshaun Watson in my own league. I also think that one thing that hurts Lamar is not having an agent, because these negotiations have been going on for more than a year now. They stopped them last summer as the season went on, and you have to be in the room for all of those conversations, and you have to be the one sitting there to hear your owner, your GM, whoever it may be, your head coach say, yeah, we're not paying you that because you're not worth that, right? That can be very emotional, and that is why you want an agent, so you don't have to deal with meetings like that, and they can come back to you and say, okay, Junie, they said this, this, and this. They're willing to offer this deal, and you don't have to be in those rooms, the hostile environments, because you can imagine, I mean, when you're talking about money, when you're talking about the amount of money that he is asking for, You don't want to hear them being like, yeah, no, you're not worth it. We're not paying you that. I can imagine that probably has stirred up a bit within, whether it be Lamar, you know, the ownership, the coach, everything like that. So him not having an agent too, I do think impacts a lot of these negotiations.
It's just hard. You're asking for a fully guaranteed contract, and you can't even finish the last 2 years to get your team into the playoffs in 2021. They were the number one seed. He gets hurt, and then they miss out on the playoffs because of his injury. This past year, they were a competitive team leading the AFC North. He goes down, and then when they get into the playoffs, they lose, when likely, if he was playing, they might have had a real opportunity to win that game. So Lamar needs to look at his situation with a little, I don't know, I guess a little sense of humility and understand, like, because of what I've done and the lapses I've had in the playoffs and the injuries I've had, maybe I'm not worth the record-setting deal in the NFL. Maybe not.
A couple other updates just around the NFL. The Saints officially signed Derek Carr as their quarterback today. And Dolph Kleinman with an update. The Packers-Jets deal for Aaron Rodgers is essentially done. The two sides worked out the deals per Connor Hughes. Now the two sides are just waiting for Rodgers to decide if he wants to be traded to the Jets. It is now up to him. Junie and I will discuss all on the other side. I'm Michelle and Junie on 102.5, 106.3, and the Game Nashville app. Michelle and Junie live from Barrel House this morning. SEC tournament will tip off in just about 45 minutes. Alabama and Missouri will be your first game at noon, followed by Vanderbilt and Texas A&M. But right now, Junie and I are discussing a little bit of NFL free agency. A report just came out that it looks like the Aaron Rodgers deal is just about done with the New York Jets, and now it is in his hands. How long will it take Aaron Rodgers to make a decision? I mean, this offseason he did say that it wasn't going to take him forever, Junie, and here we are again. A couple days, 2 days until NFL free agency begins, and a decision still hasn't been made by Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I would assume that something that a decision will be made by either today, tomorrow. I can't imagine it going into Monday with free agency starting.
Listen, teams got to make up their decisions. They get, like, this is going to hold the Jets back from being able to sign free agents. They want to, if he's still contemplating on it, because you know that the Jets owner, with how bad he wants Aaron Rodgers, is going to hold out on getting key free agents until he knows that he can get Aaron Rodgers. I mean, when he is so expensive as he is, Aaron, making $50, $60 million a year, you know, this is big money we're talking about here. And if the Jets want to get him, they need to know he's coming because they got to pay the guy.
Yes. And so this morning, Junie, just really quick, the Jets cleared up $15.2 million in cap space by restructuring contracts by cornerback DJ Reed, offensive lineman Lakin Tomlinson, and tight end Tyler Conklin. So
they've been restructuring contracts for the last 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
Releasing guys. Like, it's obvious to anybody that knows this game and that knows this league that they are freeing up money in order to try and go and make the big acquisition. Now, whether or not they can do it, it's up to Aaron. And I've been an Aaron Rodgers defender in the past, but I'm just fed up with it. Like I really am. Like, I think Aaron is a talented dude. You know, I think some of the stuff he does is attention seeking. But at this moment in time, dude, like, you hyped up this darkness retreat to make a decision to clear your head, and we're like 2 weeks out from him emerging from the darkness. And it's like, you still haven't made up your mind yet? Like, isn't that what you went in there for, to try and figure out what you're going to do? And now the Jets and the Packers have essentially come to a trade agreement. And I have never once seen they're waiting on the player himself to decide on whether or not the trade can go through. I've never seen anything like this before, that the teams have gotten it done before the player has decided on whether or not he wants to be traded or not. It's dumbfounding to me.
It's just been, you know, drama upon drama upon drama. And, I mean, the Packers have made it very clear, yeah, he's not going to be a Packer, right? We are ready to move on. I mean, Robbie Stanley of our station, huge Packers fan, right, loves Rodgers, but he's like, okay, I'm done. I just give us our picks,
yeah,
or whatever we get for Aaron Rodgers. It's time to move on. It's time to move on. But, you know, I asked the next question. Do you think Aaron Rodgers will be able to handle the New York media market? And also,
yes.
No, Junie, and also, if he doesn't win a Super Bowl, how much of a disappointment is that?
Listen, it's the Jets. They've won Super Bowl III, and they haven't sniffed a Super Bowl since. You know what I'm saying? The Jets would just be happy making the playoffs and being put into contention, I feel like. And I think this is a no-brainer for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, listen, before Breece Hall got hurt, you know, him and Garrett Wilson were like number one and number two to win Rookie of the Year. You have Sauce Gardner, who PFF had as their best cornerback last season. He played out of his mind. He won Rookie Defensive Player of the Year. They have a really good defense. They were top 10 without having a semblance of a passing game last year. So even though the defense was getting short breaks because their offense couldn't really sustain drives, they were still a top 10 unit. Imagine if they actually had a quarterback and an offense that could be at least league average, and this defense gets some rest. I mean, you're talking about a really good team and a really good roster that is, you know, the term that's used, I think, way too much, but in this case it fits. Is there a quarterback away? Aaron Rodgers goes there, you got a running back on a rookie deal. You got a number one wide receiver on a rookie deal. You got your number one corner in your secondary on a rookie deal. And on top of that, you have a really good pass rush and some good pieces on the defensive front as well. It is as cut and dry. If Aaron Rodgers wants to continue with some success and have a potential of winning a championship, this Green Bay situation is done and over with. Green Bay's trying to transition. They know that their time and their winning window with Rodgers is over. He needs to go to the Jets. It's a better fit for him and where he's at in his career. He's still got some juice left. Make the decision. Go to New York. And let's just quit with the drama. Let's quit with the attention. Get the attention by winning some games and not choking in the playoffs. I'm done with it. Go on. Move on. I know the Packers have been the team for your entire career. But it's over, Michelle. It is over between him and the Packers.
What if a deal isn't done and he's back with the Packers?
I mean,
drama.
Do you really see them starting Jordan Love over him? I can't.
No, I mean, he obviously would be the starter if Aaron Rodgers was back. But I'm just saying, you know, what if it's the darkness retreat and all of this and the talk this offseason, the talk last offseason, if he was even going to sign back with the Packers, they give him the huge deal. So then they think, okay, you know, Aaron's with us probably till the end of his career, the 5 years, we'll see where he is then. And then he does this whole roundabout again. But, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he then was like, eh, you know what? I'm not going to go there. I mean, you really don't know with him, Junie.
He's at the point in his career where he has two solid years, I feel like, left in the tank in him. And it's all about, do you want to stay with the Packers and keep going there, or do you want to go to a roster that is ready for a veteran quarterback to take the reins and actually compete? I think if he goes to the Jets become a top five team in the AFC. I truly believe that. Like, Breece Hall is one of those running backs that comes in the league like an Ezekiel Elliott, like how he did in 2016 and just took the league by storm. Saquon Barkley, when he came in, he took the league. Breece Hall is that talent, and while you have a young talented back, a young talented receiver, yeah, they need to shore up the offensive line a little bit, but this defense is top 10 without a quarterback.
We're going to play a fun game quickly.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to take the Jets with Aaron Rodgers, Junie, and I'm going to name an AFC team, and you're going to tell me if the Jets would be better than them or not.
Okay.
Better than them or not. Buffalo Bills.
No.
Miami Dolphins.
Yes.
New England Patriots.
Yes.
Okay, so that's their division, AFC East. So it would probably be, I mean, now I would love to sign up for that game, Bills, Jets, if Aaron Rodgers is on the other side. Bengals.
No.
Ravens with Lamar.
Yes.
Okay. Steelers.
Yes.
Browns.
Yes.
Okay. Jags.
You can just go through the AFC South and click.
Yes.
I would say Jags would be a toss-up, but the rest of the AFC South, they're better than.
Chiefs.
No.
Chargers.
Yes.
Raiders.
Yes.
They don't have a quarterback right now. Broncos.
Yes.
Okay, so you are saying if the Jets were able to get the deal done with Aaron Rodgers, which looks like it's slowly but surely coming. We got NFL free agency on Monday. They've cleared up about $15.2 million in cap space. Aaron Rodgers' cap hit this year would be about 15.7. So you have the Bills above them. You have the Bengals above them. Jaguars is a question. You have the Chiefs above them. So you only are sure about three teams being above them. So if Aaron Rodgers joined the Jets, Junie believes that they would be a top four team in the AFC. The Jets ownership have made it very, very clear. They want a Super Bowl. New York sports are struggling. They need the glory days, especially after the Giants just made the playoffs. They saw them sign Daniel Jones. They think, you know what? Okay, you're going to sign Daniel Jones. We're going to go get a Hall of Fame quarterback to join our roster. But Aaron Rodgers is up there with the best quarterbacks in the game. But what he doesn't have is two Super Bowls, which has become the new standard. Roethlisberger, Brady, Manning, they all have two. He's searching for that second one. Will the Aaron Rodgers deal get done by the end of the weekend? We will keep you updated as soon as we find anything out. NFL free agency starts on Monday. But coming up on the next side of the break, Joe Lunardi has updated his recent bracket standings, his bracketology, the bubble teams. After Vanderbilt's huge win over Kentucky to advance to the semifinals in the SEC tournament, he still doesn't have Vanderbilt in. Junie and I will discuss all on the other side on Michelle and Junie on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Live from Bridgestone Arena today, the SEC tournament will kick off in about 30 minutes. We got Alabama and Missouri coming up at noon for the semifinals, followed by Vanderbilt and Texas A&M. Joe Lunardi has come out with his bracketology, the most updated version of his bracketology and which teams will be in. And Vanderbilt, even after the win over Kentucky yesterday, are still on the outside looking in, Junie. Their net rating, their net ranking for an at-large team sits at a 79 right now. The worst net ranking for an at-large team was St. John's in 2019 at a 73. Right now, I said Vanderbilt is a 79 heading into the semifinals this afternoon. So
funny they have that net rating stat for 2019, because this is such a recent stat that has, I guess, become so important.
Relevant.
I don't like it. I said this earlier on the show, analytics are just taking over sports. And analytics are good to a point. I'm not trying to be a boomer saying, oh, you know, you should just play the game. Like, analytics don't mean anything. No, I'm not saying that. But when you let it control the narrative and you can't look with your eyes at a team that's really kind of come about and they started off the season struggling and they've really progressed and they've gotten better and they're in each of their players, freshmen, transfers, seniors, they're all playing at a really high level and you can't see that, then – I think the stat is somewhat flawed.
Yeah, and Willie Donick has been one of our biggest net guys in taking a look at Vanderbilt, really, really doing the research and crunching the numbers when it comes to all of this. And Providence is a team that he brings up a lot. Providence is 4-8 in quad one wins. They've got a net ranking of a 56. What used to be used before net was the KPI. They're 67 in that. So Vanderbilt looks a lot better in the KPI. They're a 37. Their net is a 79. But, I mean, they're 5-9 in quad one wins. If they win again today, that's another quad one win.
So you're telling me the old way that they used to do it, Vanderbilt is 39.
37.
And 37. And now in the new net rankings, they're 79. How is that such a large discrepancy? Like, how did we go from doing one form of selecting teams to make the tournament, and now it seems as if the narrative and the qualifications are completely different? That doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Well, and you're ready for me to bring this up. So we talk about teams that are on the bubble right now: Providence, Mississippi State, and Vanderbilt. Strength of schedule for Providence, 90. Strength of schedule for Mississippi State, 43. Strength of schedule for Vanderbilt, 6.
Wow.
Vanderbilt has one of the toughest schedules playing in the SEC. You know, I look at a team like Mississippi State, who they have beaten. Mississippi State loses by 20 points to Alabama yesterday, proving that they can't compete with some of the top teams in the tournament this year. Vanderbilt, I know they had that awful loss to Alabama earlier in the season, but since then they've been 10-1. They beat a Kentucky team right now that is ranked in a neutral arena where it was filled with Kentucky fans last night. I know they've lost their best player, but it's just baffling to me at how much we are looking at the net ranking rather than the strength of schedule, the quad one wins, the eye test. And I just don't understand how a Mississippi State team would be in over them. I mean, their net ranking is a 49. Like I said, Vanderbilt's a 79. A lot of that, what the net plays is, you know, is margin of victory and all these different metrics. And, okay, maybe Vanderbilt hasn't won all their games by a lot of points, but look at their strength of schedule compared to Mississippi State. Mississippi State's strength of schedule is a 43. Vanderbilt's a 6.
Yeah.
And they have proven that they can compete with tournament teams without their best player on their team. One of the SEC Defensive Player of the Year, Liam Robbins, who averaged double-doubles during a game. He had 6-7 blocks in the last couple of games in this winning stretch. They've proven that they can compete with some of the best teams in the league. So, you know, when you take a look at this team, I assumed that if they won yesterday and they beat this Kentucky team, that they would be a lock.
Yeah.
That is the way I looked at it, because I looked at teams like Mississippi State. I looked at teams like Providence, where the numbers and the algorithm that is used for the net might be in their favor. But when you factor in strength of schedule, the eye test, how they're playing right now. Providence has been a team that we've been talking about all year long, a team that has been regarded as one of the best teams in their conference, but they haven't had any great wins.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing, is the SEC this season, last season, has become kind of the focal point of college basketball. I mean, we're so accustomed to seeing the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Big 12 being primarily better than the SEC in basketball, but the SEC has absolutely transitioned into being a premier basketball conference. And on top of that, Vanderbilt had to play teams like Alabama, Kentucky, Tennessee twice this year. And they went, I think they went 3-3 against those in those six games. They went, because they went 0-2 against Alabama this year.
Yep.
They went 1-1 against Tennessee. And
1-1 against Kentucky.
And 1-1 against Kentucky.
Actually,
so
none,
they'd be 4-2.
In the regular season.
Or 2-4.
Obviously they just
either way,
last night.
Either way. It has gotten to a point where the net ranking has been a flawed ranking. We've seen that with the level of competition that Vanderbilt has had, over a Providence, over a Mississippi State, even a team that's even in their own conference. I think the way Vanderbilt has played, the way they've been playing down the stretch, the momentum, the way, and it's not even that, the style of play, the defense, the press, the 3-point shooting, the closing at the line down the stretch. This team is encompassing what it means to be a tournament team. And when they're playing at such a high level and beating these other teams that are considered locks in the tournament, it's just like, why are we still leaving them out when they're in the semifinals of the SEC tournament? And about 2 months ago, no one could have imagined that they would have turned it around like this, except if you're Liam Robbins, texting Coach Stackhouse after that huge Alabama loss saying, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to get it done. And he spoke it into existence.
Yeah, I want to add something real quick. If you had to put a percentage on Vanderbilt making the tourney this year, what is that percentage, including the net ranking and all? What's your percentage, Michelle?
So tell me this, Nick. Does that include today's game? Is that like,
yes,
are we talking like right now,
yes,
before they even play?
Correct.
For me, I would say right now I would give Vanderbilt a 60% chance to make it, no matter the outcome today.
Okay. So I look at this Vanderbilt team and I look at their strength of schedule. I said six. Their strength of schedule was a six, so one of the hardest schedules in the country that they had to play this year. I look at the wins that they've had. I look at the guys that they're putting out there, the eye test of how they're performing as we get later in the season. It's March right now. I don't care about the loss in preseason or the loss in November. What you want for a team to play in March is them to be playing their best basketball right now. You want them to be at their height right now, and that is exactly what Vanderbilt's doing. And the only thing that they don't have right now is their net ranking. So net ranking takes into account game results, strength of schedule, game location, scoring margin, net offensive and defensive efficiency, and the quality of wins and losses.
I think scoring margin is such, like, so who cares?
What kills Vanderbilt is their scoring margin and their quad 3-4 losses earlier this year. Although, yes, they have had a bunch of quad 1 wins, some teams are above them who have less quad 1 wins, but they don't have any quad 3-4 losses. And the scoring margin, which I mentioned before, them not winning games by, a huge amount, them winning by, it was under 10 points, 3 points, 2 points, 1 point, right? The buzzer beater over Tennessee. But I look at when they beat Tennessee. Tennessee was playing their best basketball when they beat them. Kentucky was playing their best basketball. They beat them on the road in Rupp Arena. They just beat an LSU team here. They beat a Kentucky team here. Single elimination. They're going into the semifinals of this tournament. They're facing a Texas A&M team who is ranked right now. They're sitting at second in the SEC. I personally think that, if I'm talking about percentages on if they will get in, I look at it right now as a 60%, just because the bracketologists right now, the net rating is hurting them a lot. I don't think it should matter. If it was my decision, I think they 100% should be in over a Mississippi State, even over a Providence. I mean, look at the teams Providence has played. How many teams in Providence's conference are actually going to be in the tournament? The SEC could have seven to eight teams in the tournament. So that means you are playing a tournament team almost every single week in the regular season. Same with the Big 12, same with the Big 10. But, you know, the Big East and the ACC, they're not what they used to be.
Yeah.
So their regular season, yeah, their record may be better. But as far as the teams they're playing, the quality of the opponent, I mean, look at the ACC this year. Duke just beat Pitt by, like, 25 points in the ACC tournament the other day. So the competition in the SEC and what Vanderbilt has proven, what they have proven is that they can compete with the best teams that'll be playing in March. And I think that is what should matter. Coming up next, Junie and I will make our picks for the SEC tournament that's going to tip off in just about 15 minutes. We're also going to take a look at some of the other college basketball games around the country today. The Big 12, the ACC, the Big 10 got a lot of fun games coming up. Alabama and Missouri will tip off in just about 15 minutes. On the other side, we are making our picks, hopefully to make you guys some money this afternoon. You're listening to Michelle and Junie on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. You know that song, One Shining Moment. It means it's March. It means we've got basketball today. The SEC semifinals will be in Bridgestone Arena coming up in just about 15 minutes. We've got Alabama and Missouri. I see a lot of Alabama fans watching right now. I just heard a little Roll Tide. Alabama, one of the best teams in the country, heading into this tournament all year long and heading into March. So I hope you got a little futures bet on them to maybe win it all. A lot of fans in the Barrel House right now. We are live from Bridgestone Arena, and our SEC Men's Tournament Update is brought to you by Toyota. Buyatoyota.com. Ready, set, go get your Toyota today. Toyota, let's go places. Also, if you want to be a part of our college basketball tournament, it's right around the corner, and it's time for you to sign up and play the official Game Bracket Challenge brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts, wall-to-wall sports. Go to thegamenashville.com/bracketchallenge for the Game Nashville app. Sign up to play. Brackets will be open after the teams have been selected tomorrow. We've got Selection Sunday, and I know a lot of Vanderbilt fans are going to be very, very nervous. Today will hold a lot of weight, it looks like, as far as Vanderbilt is on the outside looking in right now. But it's time to make some picks, Junie. We have got some awesome college basketball games around the country right now. First one, right in our backyard, Alabama, a 9.5-point favorite over this Missouri team. Mm. Listen, I know that Alabama is one of the best teams in the country right now, top to bottom, talent-wise. Nate Oates has really turned this Alabama program around and has made them a consistent competitive team in the SEC and in the country for that matter. 9.5, though, a very big spread. This is Missouri's first time ever competing in the semifinals of the SEC men's basketball tournament. This Missouri team has heart. They have fight. I think that Alabama is going to win on the money line. You don't get much value there, but I'm taking Missouri with the points plus 9.5. Alabama will win outright, and I have them to win this tournament, but give me Missouri plus the 9.5. It's just too big of a spread. I think we're going to get a competitive game today. I think Missouri will give Alabama a little run for their money.
I'm going to go the opposite of you.
Okay.
And I'm not doing this to be a proud pleaser, because there would be nothing more that I'd want than Alabama to lose today. Just saying. But with that being said, I'm going to take Bama and the points. I think what Missouri did yesterday with Tennessee is they used their size as an advantage, and they really tried to play bully ball, and they shot over 50% from the field. I think Alabama just matches up better with them. I think the entire game is going to kind of be teetering around that 10-point margin, but I think with fouling and free throwing down the stretch, I think the Tide pull it out and cover the 9.5 points. So give me Alabama.
So we're going to go around the country right now, take a look at some of the other games. Ohio State and Purdue, they're going to be a 12:05 tip today. Ohio State has been a little sneaky in the tournament. They won't earn a spot unless they win the Big Ten. Purdue has been, you know, as ranked as high as the number one team in the country. They got Zach Edey, who's about 7'5", which is about 2 feet taller than me, which I can't even imagine. Purdue is a 7.5-point favorite. Purdue, we have seen their weaknesses year in and year out. They were one of the teams who lost to a St. Peter's last year. I think that Ohio State is hot right now. Talent-wise, Purdue is way better. 7.5 is way too big of a spread. Give me Ohio State plus the 7.5.
I'm going with Purdue. I like Purdue. I think they have one of the better teams, especially defensively. You know, the big man down low. It was a disappointing loss to St. Peter's. I think they're going to come out in something to prove. Ohio State basketball is one sport that Purdue can actually get Ohio State in. I think they win. I think they win pretty easily.
The next game we got here today, Vanderbilt and Texas A&M, the battle of both of the SEC coaches of the year, and I would say best dressed. Jerry Stackhouse always has got a full suit on. Buzz Williams has always got the three-piece. He's always got the vest on.
Buzz ain't touching Stackhouse. He's not Listen, Stackhouse has way too much swag for him to be even in the conversation with Jerry. Go on with what you're saying.
Gonna be a great matchup today. The thing I worry about for Vanderbilt is Texas A&M's guards are big guys. Vanderbilt is a bit smaller of a team. Their guards are skinnier. Texas A&M has big guards out there, especially without Liam Robbins on their side. But Texas A&M is a 6-point favorite. I think that Vanderbilt is going to make this a close game. And I think they have a chance at potentially winning it. We saw some weaknesses from Texas A&M against Arkansas yesterday. They started off really slow. They're able to close out the game. I think Vanderbilt's going to give them a run for their money. I'm going to take Vanderbilt plus the 6, and why not put a little money on the money line on Vanderbilt? I like their story. I like their grit, and I like their passion to just try to fight for a spot in the tournament. Plus 240 are the odds. I'm going to take them on the money line. Why not?
Listen. You said a quote there. Texas A&M, a much bigger team. I like Texas A&M on the money line in the first half. I think they jump out early. I think Texas A&M jumps out early, so look at them in the spread. But I definitely think that they'll be leading at the half. It's not about the size of the dog in the fight. It's about the size of the fight in the dog. I like Vanderbilt's speed going up against Texas A&M, and I think they could do a little bit of a rope-a-dope action, wear down the Aggies as the game goes on, and I think Vanderbilt pulls out the victory. I just think they're motivated. I think they're hot. I think they want it more, and I think that they love that people are doubting them and keeping them out of the tournament. Give me Vanderbilt on the money line today to beat the Aggies and get another shot at Alabama after that awful, awful loss earlier this year.
And listen, we got a lot of Commodores fans around Nashville. Go hit up a Kentucky or Tennessee fan and go buy tickets from them. I'm sure they're I'm sure they're selling them today. It's got to feel pretty good. We've also got one of the matchups I'm looking forward to. It's going to be a later game today, 5:10 tip off Central Time. Texas and Kansas battle for the Big 12. Two teams that have been at the top of their game. Texas, though, I know one of the best teams in the country right now. I just really like Kansas. I personally think that they're the best team in the country right now. I love them to make a big run in this tournament. I'm taking Kansas minus the 2. Not sure if Bill Self is going to be back. He had some health issues earlier this week, but I think Kansas is going to win this one today, and I'm also going to take them minus the 2 to cover that spread, Junie.
I'm on the same boat as you. I really like Kansas, and I think with this whole Bill Self narrative and his health issues, I know it's really undisclosed, but it sounds like it could potentially be something serious. This Kansas team, they won it all last year. You know, they had some guys returning, coming back. They have a central core. They have an identity, and I think especially in college basketball more than anything, you know, teams can play off emotion and use that to fuel them. I think Kansas is the better team. I think Kansas wins outright. Now, I would take the 2 points on that as well. I think Kansas goes and handles business against the Texas Longhorns.
Over to the ACC, Duke, Virginia, 7:40 tip tonight, a later one. Duke favored by 3 points. I'm taking Virginia plus the 3. I think Duke wins on the money line, but I think the game is decided from decided between 1 or 2 points, Junie.
I'll take Virginia to cover and Virginia on the money line. Okay. Listen, I like teams that play defense this time of year. I think it's something that's really underrated. A lot of people like when your team is shooting lights out, but Virginia, hard-nosed defensive team. I like the program that they have going over there. Duke, you know, they're still in a bit of a transitional year. We see them have really high highs, and they've had some low lows. I will take the veteranship of Virginia and the elite defense in today's matchup. So give me the Cavaliers.
Okay, and we round out with the Pac-12, Arizona-UCLA, 9:40 Central Time. UCLA a 1-point favorite. We've got some great matchups today between Kansas, Texas, Arizona, UCLA. I'm taking UCLA minus the 1. I really like the way this team has looked. I think this team is going to make a deep run in the tournament. Give me UCLA minus the 1, Junie.
Man, this one's a hard one. Because, listen, Arizona's the solidified program in the Pac-12. They're year in and year out a really good team. I think I just convinced myself I'm going to go Arizona. Okay. I'm going to go Arizona with the upset. Like you said, you mentioned this to me earlier in the break. Teams that typically that go far in their conference championship don't go far in the tournament. I see UCLA as more of a field of 64 team that can make some noise there. I think that they kind of overlook Arizona today and lose.
As for your games in Bridgestone Arena, we got Alabama favored by 9.5. I know we already did this one. We got a lot of Bama fans in here, though. This game is about to tip off in just about 5 minutes. They just did the anthem. I think Missouri covers that spread. I think Alabama wins. I think Alabama wins the SEC tournament this weekend in Nashville. Junie, we both are taking Vanderbilt on the money line. Would love to see a rematch of Alabama and Vanderbilt after Alabama beat them by about 60 points in Tuscaloosa. Wouldn't that be storybook to see, you know, a hard fight fought of those two teams, the last two standing, in the SEC tournament tomorrow afternoon?
I mean, if it were to happen, I would still give the edge to Bama. Bama is just, they're such a stacked team. They got the size. They have the perimeter shooting. Like, they have everything that you want. And I just don't think that there is a team left in the tournament. Like, I like Tennessee and Kentucky's odds if they were to face Bama. But I just think matchup-wise, Bama's just going to be too much for the field that's remaining left. I know A&M got them, but again, that's size. Playing at Texas A&M, where the home crowd is just in your ear all game long. I wouldn't give Texas A&M a semblance of a chance against Bama on a neutral court. So I think Bama's going to wrap up and take the SEC title this year.
We got Alabama and Missouri coming up next, followed by Vanderbilt, Texas A&M. Vanderbilt still fighting for a spot in the tournament. Selection Sunday will be tomorrow. 4 teams today, only 2 tomorrow, and 1 will be your SEC champion in Bridgestone tomorrow afternoon. And then we've got Selection Sunday, and the first weekend of March Madness will be upon us. The best time in sports. Thank you, everybody, who watched live this morning, who listened, who contributed to the conversation. Can't wait to watch some basketball today. Tip-off is just under 3 minutes away. Live from Bridgestone Arena, I'll have the coverage for you all day long on 102.5 The Game's social medias and my personal Twitter at Michelle Knezovic. Let's see if Vandy can do it. Let's see if they can beat Texas A&M today. And then there is absolutely no reason somebody can't put them in the tournament, Junie.
100%. I think the Doors get the win. I like the way they're shooting the ball. I like the way they're playing full court press and just wearing down their opponent. I think they're going to do the same to the Aggies today. So we'll have to see if Vanderbilt can make the field of 64 come tomorrow afternoon.
Going to be a very exciting day around the college basketball world. I can see the Vanderbilt players running out. I can hear the Alabama Roll Tides. A lot of Alabama fans went to go sit in their seats just under 2 minutes till tip. Alabama, Missouri, followed by Texas A&M and Vanderbilt. Will Vanderbilt make the tournament this year? We'll find out soon. Selection Sunday coming up tomorrow. You're listening to Michelle and Junie on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Go enjoy some basketball today, Nashville.